pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come into your presence, that we can come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that we can come knowing that you are our great and awesome God, who is the creator and sustainer of all things, the one who has formed our very being, formed, shaped us, and molded us in our mother's womb, as Psalm 139 tells us, and that you have made us fearful, you've created us fearfully, wonderfully made. Made so that we can experience you as our living God. And you ordained all the days for us. You put them into place before one of them came to be. And Lord, we thank you that we are here today on this day, coming together as your body, your family, your forever family, so that we can worship you together as our creator, as our sustainer, the one who is our vision, the one who brings everything together in life when things seem to be spinning around us and falling apart. We thank you, Lord God, that we can come into your presence today, knowing that it is by your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary, that we can come before you and we can just pour out our hearts in worship. But not only that, but we can come and we can seek you. We can seek your forgiveness for where we have stumbled and fallen through this past week. We can come and seek your peace when we've been troubled by all kinds of things that hinder us, around us, that get our thinking off in other places. We can come before you this morning, Lord, and we can seek your love to bring healing and wholeness to hearts that have been beaten up or just where we felt that we've been far away from you or from others in our relationships with them. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you today and seek you, seek your presence and your peace in all of the ups and downs of life. And Lord, we also thank you that we can come today knowing that you will draw near to us and speak into us the words of life. Lord, you may have already been speaking to us through the songs that we've sung, the scriptures that have been read. And Lord, we quieten our hearts right now, Lord, so that you can speak to us through your word. And Lord, I pray today that as we come into this time of studying of your word, that you would take what I have studied, Lord, the things that you've laid on my heart, and as I express them and share them, that they would resonate with people's hearts today, Lord, and that you would speak, Lord, through your servant. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable unto you, O Lord. And so, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we just take this next few moments of silence, of quiet before you to just sort out all the things. Let all the things that would hinder us, the sins that have easily entangled us, let them all go, Lord, so that we can fix our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our minds, the eyes of our spirit, Lord, our soul, on you right now, Lord, so that you can be that author and the perfecter of our faith today as we hear you speak to us. So, Lord, we come before you now in a time of silence just to let you begin to sort out our hearts before you today. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who hears our prayers. You're the one that knows our hearts. And Lord, as we come into your presence now and underneath your word, we pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us, for your servants are listening. Amen. This morning, we're continuing our study on the letter of Paul to the Philippians. And we're starting today in, we're looking today in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. And the title of the message today is Joyful Service. Joyful Service. And as we begin today, I have a question that kind of comes out of last week's message. And the question is this: how was your twinkle factor last week? How was your twinkle factor this past week as you took to heart the things that we learned last week and started to let your light shine out into the community? How was your twinkle factor? You know, for those of you who weren't here last week, you have to understand what we talked about last week was where Paul encouraged his friends in Philippi to adopt a strategy for authentic, joyful Christian living that starts from the inside and works its way out with joy. We looked last week at how the Apostle Paul was teaching us how to renounce mediocrity in our lives. You know, like just being ordinary in how we live the Christian life. He talked about how, you know, that we need to be holy as God is holy, to be holy and to aim for integrity in our life, which is actually putting into practice the things that we've learned, right? Shrinking that hypocrisy gap in our life, that gap between the things that we know and have learned and the things that we put in practice, shrink that. Aim to live a life of integrity. He talked also about embracing God's sovereign purposes for our life. You know, really being able to hear God speak and lead us and guide us and into those things that he has already prepared in advance for us to do. You know, understanding that God has a purpose for each and every one of our life. And when we live that our life with purpose, then, oh, we can do so with joy. And it just radiates to other people. And so, you know, at the end of last week's message, I said, you know, we need to just learn how to turn up the intensity of our luminosity by allowing God's Spirit to just flow into us and flow out to others. In other words, letting our light shine. So that's what I meant by how were you doing this past week in that question? That question. How was your twinkle factor? You know, adopting a strategy for authentic, joyful Christian living enables us to do a couple things, Paul says. He says it enables us to experience healing and wholeness in our relationship, not only in our own lives, but in our relationships with one another within the body of Christ. And as we live that authentic, joyful Christian life, we begin, then we're able to work together to impact the world around us. You know, that city on a hill cannot be hidden. It can't be tucked under a bushel, or it can't be put under a bed. No, he says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. It lets its light shine for everyone else around. So again, I ask the question, how was your twinkle factor this past week? Was it easy or was it difficult to choose to be extraordinary in the way you lived out your Christian life, living that authentic Christ-like life for others around you? Or did you settle for mediocrity? Being ordinary. How was it? Was it easy or was it difficult to move towards being extraordinary? I mean, extraordinary is just stepping out of the ordinary, right? So how was it for you? And I just want to encourage you today. Don't be discouraged if it seems like it's an uphill battle to live that way. Because it is. Because there's so many things around us in the world that kind of, and things that come at us internally, externally, that just try to keep us living in that ordinary space in how we live our Christian life. You know, the aim of our Christian life is to become more like Christ. And that's not always going to be in big, huge leaps and bounds. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we take huge leaps in our Christian growth, in our formation with Christ. But then other times it just seems like it's just one step at a time. You know, like that song that we learned in Sunday school, some of us, way back then. One step at a time, only one step at a time. That is the way the Lord will lead you, one step at a time. Take that one step carefully. Walk that one step prayerfully. That is the way to victory, one step at a time. Do you remember that? Anybody? Anybody ever heard that one? Okay, I see one or two. All right. Or what about the other one? The other one, little by little. Anybody remember little by little? Little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, my Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. Since I made a turnabout face, I've been growing in his grace. My Jesus is changing me. Anybody? Remember that one? Yeah, that one's a little bit more familiar. But you get the picture? You know, upping our twinkle factor doesn't always happen all at once, but if we're moving towards that, if we're allowing the Spirit of God to move in and rearrange the furniture of our life, if we're giving ourselves over to God, he's changing us. Little bit by little bit by little bit, one step at a time. You know, transformation from within is the goal that, you know, being transformed from within by a new way of thinking so that our actions and our reactions become more and more like his and less like our own, right? That's what it's all about. You know, our aim is to be men and women of integrity, whole, complete, and perfect in our obedience to Christ. One choice at a time, one step at a time, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the one who is the author of our faith and the one who will run with us and be the perfecter of our faith. And, you know, just a reminder to us today that our victory over mediocrity is not a short sprint in the short term, but it's a marathon. It's a lifetime of working, allowing the Spirit of God to work in our life. Being open to the transforming power of God is a long-term process for all of us. So, today, I want you to just consider this. If we're going to shine like stars, we need to recognize that Paul knew the challenges his friends would be facing, adopting this extraordinary way of being, this extraordinary way of living. He knew that they would need some personal coaching and encouragement, affirmation. And we all do, don't we? In our Christian life. We're not to be, I shared this with the men's group a week ago on Saturday. We were never meant to be an island unto ourselves, not just as men, but anybody of us. We were never meant to live our life in isolation from other people. We need other people around us to spur us on toward love and good deeds in Christ Jesus. That's why we are in the body of Christ. And Paul knew that. And he knew that his friends in Philippi would need some personal coaching, some encouragement and affirmation. And so in Philippians 2, 19 to 30, he promises to send them help in the form of two shining examples, two coaches and mentors to be with them, to strengthen them, to encourage them in his friends, Timothy and Epaphroditus, two men that Paul had come to know and had come to know that who had given their all for the gospel. Two men who were living a life of joyful service for the Lord. And so for this week, and then in a couple weeks, it'll be after Easter, okay? So it'll be these two messages are going to be a little bit apart, but for this week and in a few weeks, we'll look at the second person. We're going to look today at the first of these two men, what Paul has to say about them in the person of Timothy. We're going to look at Timothy today and what we can learn from him about joyful service. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24, Paul has these words to his friends about Timothy. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. For I have no one else like him, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come to you soon." You know, in these six short verses, Paul has much to say about his dear friend Timothy, much that will encourage us today, I hope. Hope will encourage us today in terms of how we, in turn, can be joyful servants for the Lord as we engage in joyful service, like Timothy had engaged in joyful service for the Lord. And today, Paul shares with us in these six verses, he shares with us four character traits that distinguish Timothy as a shining light for those around him, a model of joyful servanthood. So let's look at this first, the first thing that Paul says about Timothy. The first thing that Paul recognized about Timothy as he was sending him to his friends in Philippi to be their mentor, to be their pastor, shepherd. He says, there's no one like Timothy in his like-mindedness. In his like-mindedness. In Philippians 2, 19 and 20, he says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send to you Timothy soon, for I have no one else like him." There's no one like him. You know, Timothy was at the top of the class. You know, if there was a graduation ceremony from Paul's training school for pastoral leaders or shepherding leaders in the church, Timothy would have graduated summa cum laude, which means at the top of his class. Paul says there's no one like him because he's a man of my equal. And for Paul to say that about Timothy, that was extraordinary. He was recognizing Timothy's extraordinary desire to serve God and to be a faithful witness. This word that he uses here is ipsosokos in the Greek. And ipsosokos means, you know, it's not just like-mindedness. It has a deeper meaning. It's of equal soul, of equal feeling or of mind. It's that deep, deep down oneness of heart and soul and mind. It's an extraordinary commitment to being of one, being unified in the Spirit. That's what Timothy's heart was, where Timothy's heart was in his service for the Lord. We call it like-mindedness. Timothy and Paul shared a very passionate zeal for the things of God. That's extraordinary. Because I know if we just, you know, think about our own selves, you know, how often do we have that kind of like-mindedness with each other in the body of Christ? Or even with one or two people. You know the old saying, you get two Baptists in a room, you have three congregations. Or the potential for three congregations. Sometimes we're not so like-minded with each other, but this was so different with Timothy. He was extraordinary in his like-mindedness. He was so focused on the things of God. You know, Paul and Timothy shared a commitment to Christ and his teachings. They shared a commitment to the Word of God, the deeper things of God, a commitment to a lifestyle of integrity and obedience, which was they had that commitment to allowing the Spirit of God to work in them and create that holy outworking of faith. That's what they were committed to, like-mindedness. He says this of Timothy. And so how did Paul know Timothy so well? How did he know this like-mindedness that they shared? Well, Paul had mentored Timothy. He had mentored him. And, you know, when he met Timothy, it was on one of his missionary journeys in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul had met Timothy's mother, who was a Jew, who had been a Jewess, and his father was a Greek. His mother had embraced faith in Jesus Christ and had started passing this on to Timothy. We see that in 2 Timothy 1:5. You know, the impact of godly parents on their children, passing on their faith. That the faith had lived in his grandmother Eunice and his mother Lois, grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, right? Generation to generation, passing on faith. And as Timothy had grown in his faith, Timothy was recognized by the body of elders, the church, and he had been, that he was a gifted young man, that he was able to had a heart for the Lord. And when Paul was ministering there, he recognized something special within Timothy, something extraordinary, his commitment. And he invited him to become part of his ministry team. He was set apart by the laying on of hands in the ministry. Paul knew Timothy very well. He knew that Timothy served faithfully. As he came along with Paul on his missionary journeys, Timothy was like a shadow to Paul. Constantly learning, constantly being aware of what's going on. How is Paul caring for the people? What is Paul teaching? He had a hunger and a desire. He was watching, learning, stretching, doing, serving, teaching others. He grew in his faith. He grew in his commitment to serving others. This is how Timothy grew in his faith. He was mentored by Paul. You know, how many of you today can say that you were mentored by somebody in the faith? Put up your hand. Somebody who purposely, thank you. Somebody who purposely came alongside of you and mentored you. Who poured out their life in Christ in you so that you in turn could grow and stretch and become that much more rooted and established in your faith. You know, those of you who have experienced that, you know how so much a value that was to you in helping you to move along in your faith, grow in Christ. Not everybody has had a mentor. Not everybody has had somebody to come alongside of them. But you know, the question I have about that is, why not? Why not? You know, as Paul was to Timothy, Paul was like a father to Timothy. We're going to see that in just a moment. Timothy became like a son to Paul. Spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. Helping the generation behind come along in their faith. Another question I want to ask. How many of you have been a spiritual mother or spiritual father to someone else? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I see that. You know, but again, I ask the question, why not? Why not? You know, this is what you know, helping people to grow into their faith is all about. Those who are strong helping those who are weak. Those who are mature helping those who are still growing in their faith. This is how the church becomes strong. This is how people like Timothy, who have that, who we recognize as having a little bit of faith, have a faith that could be, oh wow, could do so much, and have an eagerness to serve. This is how they grow and become extraordinary in their shining for Christ. You know, this is how Timothy became Paul's go-to guy. Because Paul was willing to pour his life into Timothy. Timothy was willing to soak in everything that the Apostle Paul was teaching him about how to walk in Jesus. And therefore, Paul was able then, as he grew and as he matured, to trust him to handle all kinds of difficult assignments in the church, challenges within the church. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, he says, "For this reason I'm sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in the church." You know, Paul considered Timothy to be like his son, his own son in the faith. And it was because of this that Paul wrote two personal letters of instruction and encouragement to Timothy. And in those, he calls him my true son in the faith, my man of God, my dear son. Paul had a deep love and respect for Timothy. That's what a mentoring relationship is all about. Helping someone to come along to that place where they are able to be released into ministry, into faithful service, with a heart serving God. You know, Paul says of Timothy, there's no one like Timothy. There's no one like him for his like-mindedness. And then he goes on to say that there's no one like Timothy for his commitment. His commitment. Timothy received high marks from Paul, and these were not just achieved without a disciplined commitment to hearing and integrating the truth of Christ into his life. Timothy was committed to integrating everything that he was learning into his life of service for the Lord. He took seriously Paul's instruction. In 2 Timothy 2:15, this was Timothy's way of life. He said, you know, Paul said to him, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Timothy was committed to understanding God's word, to hiding it in his heart, to making it a part of his life in every way. And as he did, Paul recognized him for his genuine concern, not only for the learning and growing in Christ, but also for his concern for others. He says, I have no one like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, in how he can care for and encourage others. You know, Timothy's heart of compassion and concern for people was unmatched by his peers. He was committed to looking out for others' needs before his own. He wasn't just in it for himself, in his life of service. His life of service was for others. And Timothy possessed a shepherd's heart. A shepherd's heart. He possessed a pastoral heart. The gifting of a shepherd. He knew what his spiritual gifts were. You know, as he worked alongside of Paul, Paul encouraged him and nurtured him in his spiritual gift of caring for others. And he knew his gifts. The question I have today is, you know, how well do you know your spiritual gifts? How well do you know that what the Spirit of God has poured into you? You know, Timothy grew into his spiritual gifts, and he made a point of growing into them as he was given opportunities to serve. He utilized those gifts of the Spirit, that shepherding gift. And God used him in a powerful way. He was vitally concerned about the spiritual and physical well-being of others. He was willing to go where the Lord would use his unique gifts to serve, to care for, and to protect those entrusted to him. He understood what his spiritual gift was and was willing to use it in God's service. And therefore, Paul could say of him, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, because he knows that's who God has created him to be. And Timothy's solid track record of compassionate pastoral care in the churches he had served was extraordinary. We can see that. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 to 5, or 1 to 3, Paul again says this of Timothy. He says, "So when we could stand it no longer, we sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials that you're going through." You know, many of the churches that Timothy was sent to were full of problems. They were facing pressures from without and pressures from within. And Timothy, you know, this Timothy was sent to be that steadying influence. That one who was like rock solid in his commitment to God and to sorting out the difficulties, the challenges, the trials, to be there to walk with people through the trials. You know, the church needs people like Timothy today. When we go through the struggles, the challenges, the trials. Maybe you are a Timothy. Maybe you're a Timothy today. You know, God is raising you up in this congregation to be someone who utilizes their gifts to strengthen and encourage others in the faith. Maybe you're called to help settle others through the trials. You know, God's Spirit is working in His church today, raising up people like Timothy among us. You know, Timothy's a positive example for us today. An example to us of someone who has a heart of love, compassion, and concern for others. You know, people like Timothy make a difference in a congregation, make a difference in our individual relationships with one another, in our family relationships with one another, in our church family relationships. Makes a difference when we seek to live our life with this level of commitment to Christ and to one another, like Timothy modeled in the churches that he served. You know, Christ has entrusted each one of us with a ministry of compassionate love for one another. "Love one another as I have loved you," Jesus said. We talked about that last week. And the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1, 22 to 23 says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God." You know, what this indicates to us is that we need to be people who are, if we're going to have joyful service to the Lord, like Timothy was an example to us of, we need to prioritize what is truly important in our life and ministry. You know, the Apostle Paul says of Timothy, he says, "I have no one who is committed to your welfare, for everyone else looks out for their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ." You know, Timothy had learned to prioritize what was important, serving God and serving others. James Montgomery Boyce says this of Timothy. He says, Timothy put Christ first. And in this, he stood head and shoulders above those who were around him. It is so easy to put other things first. You can give first place to your plans or your family or success or any number of other things. But if you do, all of these things will be distorted and you will miss life's greatest blessings. Timothy put Christ first together with Christ's interests, and the other things fell into place. Now, Timothy had learned to prioritize what Jesus had taught his disciples. He learned this, I'm sure, from the Apostle Paul. As Paul was following Jesus, he encouraged Timothy to follow Jesus. And in Matthew 6, 30 to 33, this is what Jesus taught his disciples. Now, I'm quoting this from the Message Bible, but I'm sure you know this from other versions very, very much. Jesus said, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never, ever seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you. Do his best for you. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way that he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. So steep your life in God's reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. In a more familiar version, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Prioritizing what's important as a servant of God. Now, Timothy learned this principle, and he chose to live by it. His number one priority in life was to put Christ first. And each one of us must choose, you know, what is our first priority in life? What are we seeking after in life? How are we seeking to live in relation to God? How are we seeking to live in relation to one another? What are we seeking first in our life? Does Jesus have first place in your heart? Is Christian growth and formation important to you? Where do prayer and studying the Bible and serving others, mentoring others, reaching out to your neighbor, where do all of these fit into your life of service to God and to others? For Timothy, who we've been looking at today, they topped the list. They topped the list, and it showed in his life. It showed up in his life. And he was committed to working with others for the sake of the gospel, working together. He says, but you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. As a co-worker with Paul, Timothy proved himself to be a faithful servant. He worked alongside of Paul as a son learning his father's trade. He was open and coachable, like an apprentice. You know, a number of years ago when I was taking the team management and leadership program, one of the things that constantly was put before us in this training program, it was the question, how coachable are you? How coachable are you? And you know, I always thought, oh, I'm really coachable. I'm really good, until someone would say, well, how about this? How about looking at this from this perspective? Well, no, I got it all figured out. How coachable are we? You know, and you can gauge that by how much resistance you have right now to the things that I've been teaching you. Where are those things that you say, well, but you know what? And you can gauge it by, you know, when God begins to speak to you, how much do you want to run away like Jonah? You know, God's calling you to do something, and there's some resistance. You know, wherever there's resistance, recognize that, oh, Lord, I just need to let that go and be a little bit more coachable. Timothy was coachable. He was open to receive the things that God was speaking into his life. He served, and that's what made him extraordinary. As he worked alongside of Paul with a shared purpose, to share with others the gospel, the good news about Jesus. He became a coach to others as he grew in his faith and the depth of his faith. You know, James Montgomery Boyce has said this. He says, a real mark of Christian maturity is our ability to work with others cooperatively under the banner and for the cause of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that means we have to let go of our own perceptions and how we see things and work alongside of each other for the sake of the kingdom, for the expansion of God's kingdom. Being coachable with each other. Now, as far as Paul was concerned, Timothy had distinguished himself as a valuable team player. We're all in this together. We're all working for the kingdom to grow. We're working together for the sake of the gospel, is what we were created in Christ Jesus to do. Working together for the kingdom. That's purposes. You know, each of us, like Timothy, has a unique role to play in working with and supporting one another in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. You know that? That's, you know, the Great Commission I'm talking about. This is what Jesus left us. You know, when just before he left us with this Great Commission. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the ends, the very ends of the earth. And I'm not just talking to you, Shirley. You know, didn't Shirley do a great job again this morning of leading us into worship through prayer and her heart? Willing servanthood at 86, right? Oops, didn't mean to say that, Shirley. But I think she's being an example to us all of servanthood. And I'm not saying that to flatter you, Shirley. I'm saying that to acknowledge you. Because Shirley came, is it okay if I share this, Shirley? She came to me a number of weeks ago and said, the Spirit of God has put it on my heart to serve in this congregation, to use the gifts that I have to bless others. And not only is she doing that through the garden out the back, but she said, I'd like to be able to pray, and I'd like to be able to help lead. And she is. There's always room for people who are willing to serve in this church. You know, we have so many opportunities to serve, to use your gifts. Like in faithful service, just like Timothy. You know, it could be ushering. We need more ushers. We need a church clerk. There's so many opportunities for ministry and service here. It's just having that willing heart to let God say, I'm gonna use you. Just be open. Doesn't matter what age you are. Because every contribution that you make, everything that you how you give of yourself contributes to this being able to fulfill the great commission that Christ has set before us. Working together for the sake of the gospel is what we were created in Christ Jesus to do. And each of us, like Timothy, has that unique role to play in working with, supporting one another in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And this is the mandate that Jesus gave his disciples. His Great Commission has never been revoked. Jesus has not revoked that commission, folks. It's our standing order number one. And as we complete this message today, here's just a few final thoughts on Timothy's character. From Timothy's character, it's clear to see why Paul spoke so highly of him. There's no one else like Timothy because he was an authentic man of God. He was not a super saint. In 1 and 2 Timothy, you just have to read through that, and it indicates that he had all kinds of flaws. He was still working on himself, but he was committed. He was humbly dedicated. He humbly dedicated his life to following Christ and serving others. So Timothy is an example to us today of someone who would not settle for mediocrity. There's nothing about Timothy's life that indicates that he was just ordinary. He was an extraordinary man of God, faithful in service for God. And as a result, he became a shining light, a beacon of encouragement, strength and hope for others around him. So today, what can we take away from this message? Hopefully there's a lot. But here's just one thing that we can learn from Timothy. If there's just one thing, learn this. It's possible for us to turn up our twinkle factor for our lives, one twinkle at a time. Okay? That's Timothy. That's the example that he leaves for us. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word today. I thank you, Lord, for just reminding me as I've been preaching and as you've been teaching me, just to be grateful, to be thankful for the way that you work in us one step at a time. You bring us from just initial faith right into a faith that really loves you and serves you with all of our hearts. And so, Lord, continue that good work, that good process in each one of us. Help us, Lord, to be those who are committed to loving you, to loving one another, and to serving the world around us as we follow your leading, your guiding. We love you, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.